Good morning. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Sing-sun, and Russell dangerously allowed me to pick any topics that I wanted to say. I don't know if he trusts me or if he's just that brave, but as I was just contemplating on, you know, what controversial topic I can discuss to stir people up, God just gave me this a very clear topic, one that we're all very, very familiar with, but often forget, which is the gospel. The thing with the gospel is that it's actually very simple. It's all can be summed up in a couple sentences, really, that God himself came down to earth as a man to die for our sins and rose again and said to us that whoever believes in this will also rise with him again and never die. And that's all that is. And I'm sure many of us have heard this hundreds of times. But the thing is, I think we as Christians, we often, especially people living in New Zealand who, because there's a lot of churches around, we often assume that other people know the gospel as well. I'm not sure if you guys ever heard of a guy called Charles Finney. He's known to be one of the greatest kind of evangelists and preachers of his time. And his comment was this, that I would be pleased if 10% of my congregation were actually Christians. If you walk around town in Whangarei, you would think, you know, they probably at least heard about who Jesus is from schools, from maybe Sunday schools, from youth groups, or from other people, or even TV or something. I've only been living here 3 years, but I've been going around to just chat with people about God. Sometimes on Easter, going to house and just asking, hey, do you even know what the Easter story is about? Most people didn't. They didn't know why Easter was a holiday. They didn't even know something simple that we all assume they knew. If you speak to people in town, I was chatting with them, even the ones that have heard about Jesus is very confused. They're like, wasn't he that guy that lived a while back? Or wasn't he the good guy? Or, oh, he kind of died or something. They don't have a clear understanding of who Jesus is. Now, up to that much, I could understand. But what I couldn't understand was this. I met Christians, well, the people who at least went to church regularly. And I go to them, hey, who do you think Jesus is? And they didn't know who Jesus truly was. They said, oh, I'm pretty sure he, you know, died for our sins. That's true. What does that mean? I don't really know. Oh, yeah, he's a good, loving God. Yeah, but who is he? What did he do? Why? How do you know that he's such a loving God? I don't really know. The thing is, though, that I think a lot of the church is often focused on the good fruits and outward activities that the faith, the gospel should produce, that we often neglect the teachings of the gospel itself. Like, I've met a friend recently who's become a Christian, but he was just sharing his testimony, which really, really convicted me. He said he has gone to church before because he was really seeking and he was broken and he wanted hope, he wanted truth, he wanted joy. But he said when he went to church, everyone seemed good. Everyone seemed perfect. And he felt he had no place there. Other friends and other people that I've spoken to say something like this. Well, they're friendly and they greet me, but none of them actually care about me or want to know me. And I just feel their kindness is a lie or fake. And that's just a very common thing. I just do it on a day off, just stay in town and just chat to different people and ask them about their experiences of church. A lot of people have come in and out of churches, and their conclusion was, that's not what I was looking for. Even within the church itself, the number of people that I have seen and heard that says, I go to church every week, and I feel lonely. The truth is, our faith is not about good people showing care or kind people being generous. It's about broken sinners in the hands of a merciful God. And I think we often forget this point. I'm going to share with you two stories. So there was a man who lived a fairly good life. Most people would say it was good. He didn't cause any troubles to his neighbors. He worked hard at work. He went to church each day, and he read his Bible. He got married, and he had kids and family. They were all well-behaved and good kids and well-spoken of in the community. And eventually, as he got older, he had a heart attack, and he died. And before the judgment seat of God, this is what God said to him. Depart from me, you have no place here. For I was hungry, and you did not feed me. I was naked, and you did not clothe me. I was lonely in prison, and you did not come and visit me. And the man goes, but Lord, when did I see you naked? When did I see you hungry? When did I see you in prison? And Jesus says, whatever you did not do for the least of those that are mine, you did not do for me. Now, there's still another man. He was a bit different. He actively went to church, but he also actively went out and spoke to people about God. He actively went around to these people, prayed for them, and there was even healings, and there were miraculous works that he did as well. And eventually, when he died and he went up to heaven, he was quite confident. I've done these good things. God will let me in here. And at the judgment seat, God says, depart from me. And he was shocked. But Lord, didn't I prophesy in your name? Didn't I tell people about you? Didn't I heal people and do miraculous works in your name? And Jesus' answer was, depart from me, I never knew you. So most of you are probably familiar with these two stories. But have you kind of wondered how this works? Because one does nothing and he doesn't go into heaven. And one does lots of good things and still doesn't enter heaven. What's the requirement then to enter God's kingdom? It is faith in Jesus Christ alone. Because the truth is, there is actually no good or bad people. There is only a bad people and a great and good God. And our faith is not in the things we do, the understanding that we gain, but it's actually in a person. And because these people, even the one that did a lot of good things, did not know Christ, he was not worthy to enter his kingdom. So, if our faith is determined by the works and person of Christ, then what does it actually mean to have a saving faith in Jesus? We know from the Bible itself that it definitely is not head knowledge of him. Because there's examples of the Pharisees who read the Bible and knew it inside out. And Jesus said, you search the scriptures, thinking by these that you will be saved. But they testify about me, and you do not believe in me. But he also says this, look, you can't just believe that I exist, because even the demons believe these and shudder. So it's not mere knowledge. There was a Korean martyr. So back in the late 1800s, early 1900s, Korea was under immense poverty and persecution with the wars from Japan and China. And at this time, the Japanese had essentially taken over Korea, and they were trying to break their people. They were actively going around abusing them, raping them, doing whatever they wanted, not even treating them as humans. And because they wanted to break them, they looked for any excuse and opportunities to persecute these Korean people. And one of their favorite people to persecute were the Christians. And this man, heard from a missionary that came to Korea at the time about this Jesus who died for his sins and rose again. And he heard this message and decided, I believe that is true and I want to follow this Jesus. The Japanese people heard about this man and decided to capture him and set an example. So they grabbed him, put him in prison, and began torturing him on a daily basis. I'm not going to go into too much detail on the actual torturing itself, but know that they beat him so much that the person who was torturing them got too tired and exhausted. They beat him and they beat him and they beat him, but he would not deny Christ. And one day, the torturer just had enough. He was tired. He was sick of it. It was torture for him to beat him and nothing happened. And he actually went and said this to the guy, look what's all that's happening to you. All you need to do is deny Jesus. He's a random man who lived 2,000 years ago. Why are you so stubborn? Just deny him and all this will go away. And the man looked up to his torturer with his bruised and bloody face and looked at him and said, because Jesus died and rose again. Now, this is a man who only heard the gospel. He didn't have the Bible for himself. He had no one to teach him anything else. He didn't have scripture verses such as, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I feel no evil. He never said, I will be by your side. I will never test you beyond your capabilities. Your reward is great in heaven if you maintain your faith. He didn't hear any of these things, but only heard the gospel, and that was enough for him to give up his life for Jesus. And my challenge is this. We, as people who have the Bible, who study it daily, who come together and worship and praise him, can any of us claim to know Jesus better than this man does? I believe the man who has the gospel but no Bible actually has more than the person who knows the Bible but doesn't understand grace. The thing is, though, that we can maybe agree with these statements, but we often kind of lose track of what this actually looks like or means in our own lives. We often do try to do good for our neighbors. We often do try to be friendly to strangers that walk into the church. We often do try to go out of our ways to help people. But the thing is, though, if we are relying on these things, we're essentially doing what all the Pharisees did, which was relying on the law. And the Bible does teach us very clearly that the law itself, though it's good, has never been enough to change us. So the law demands holiness, but doesn't have to provide us with the power to be holy. But Christ came and lived in perfect holiness, and then he dressed us with his righteousness. And this righteousness is what actually helps us to live that perfect life. See, the world doesn't need to see good moral people living good moral lives. It needs to see an imperfect people living under grace. And the thing is, let's be honest here. The world doesn't need you. It doesn't need Sing Sun. It needs Christ. Because one uneducated man completely surrendered to Christ can accomplish more in a single day than I can, than Sing Sun can in my entire lifetime if I relied on my own strength. Because the gospel isn't about doing good that I don't really normally want to do and forcing myself to do these things. It's but about Christ changing me so that the things that I ought to do becomes the things that I want to do. Because that's what it means to be born again. It's not about improving an old nature that I had, but a creation of a new nature. And this is the good news that we have. You know, if you look around the world around us, we hear in the news and things constantly, there's the abortion thing that's coming through that we're trying to discuss, euthanasia and different things. But the problem of the world isn't abortion, though it is a problem. The problem isn't euthanasia, though it is a problem. The problem isn't pollution, though it is a problem. The problem isn't human trafficking, though it is a problem. The problem is that the world does not know God. They do not love Him. They do not fear Him. And the only way they can actually get to know this God is through Jesus. So it is right and it is good to fight for the lives of precious babies. It is right to fight for the hope of the old and the sick. It is right to fight for the slaves and those who have no speech. And it is right to fight for nature and all these beautiful created things. But I can absolutely confidently assure you that unless they know Christ, any change we can do will fade away over time or be replaced by another evil. Only the love of Christ can change the human heart. And only the gospel of Christ can actually save this world. And if you, just being a good, hardworking, church-going person, can you honestly say that if there was a man who raped and killed your children, that you will be willing to die for this person that they can be set free? See, that's what the Bible says that we are. It says every time you look at a man or a woman lustfully, you have committed adultery in your heart. Every time you get angry at someone, it says you've committed murder against that person in your heart. And if we are aware that these people are God's children, it's against these people we're doing these sins too. And God knows our heart. And yet, knowing this, the same God who knows the evil heart that we have, the same God who created everything, by His word, light is created. When He speaks, the stars are made and the earth forms. When His word comes out, even the winds obey Him. The sick are healed and the dead are raised. He has been there from the very beginning. He has no beginning and no end. He is the Alpha and the Omega. This very God who couldn't die became a man so that He can die for our sin. Look, it took the death of our God to atone for sins. And He did this while we were still against Him. Grace like this changes people. How can it not? Because there has never been nor will be a love like this seen on this earth. And the challenge to you is, examine yourselves. Is the good that you are doing, are the acts of your life, things that you do because you've learned that it is good to do these things? Is these the fruits that you've heard about that we should have, and therefore you're trying to attach them to your tree? Or is it a sprouting from this gospel of what God has done for us? Are you changing? Are you growing? Are you more loving today than you were last year? Is His mercies for you becoming new each day? Or is it something you received once and you're still now trying to do things in your own strength? Even if you're a new Christian or a Christian for 100 years, the source of our strength doesn't change. Our need for Him doesn't get less, it becomes more. If you claim to truly believe the gospel and remain unchanged, it means you don't believe. Because love like the one that Christ showed us to those who believe, love like this breaks you and it molds you, changes you, and makes you into a new creation. I know how evil I am. You guys don't know all everything I do, nor the things that I think. But if you could see my heart or my mind just for a day, there's no way Russell will let me preach here, no matter how brave he is. Most people will probably call the police because they're getting worried. Is this the kind of thoughts that this man has? I alone and God know how lustful, greedy, envious, and jealous my mind and my heart is. But I also know this, that I do some good things. I preach. I talk to people about Christ. I serve people, and I practice hospitality at times. But on the day of judgment, I'm not going to bring before him the works that I've done. I'll have no confidence in saying to him, oh, at least I did this, God, because even my greatest moment of faith and righteousness is as filthy rags before a holy, perfect God. But neither am I going to stand before him ashamed because of my sins. Because when I stand in front of the judgment seat of God, I will only have one plea, that I've placed my hope in a crucified man. There's a song by Graham Kendrick called Crucified Man. And I think this just sums up our faith just so beautifully. So I'll just read a few verses from here. I have placed all my hope in a crucified man, in the wounds in his side, his feet, and his hands. I have traded my pride for a share in his shame, for the glory that one day will burst from his pain. I have abandoned my trust in the wise and the proud for this fragile, mysterious weakness of God. And I dared to believe in the scandalous claim that his blood cleanses sin for whoever will trust in his name. Live or die, here I stand. I've placed my hope in a crucified man. I believe as they beat on his beautiful face, he turned a torturer's chair into an altar of grace, where the worst that we can do met the best that God does, and where unspeakable hate met the gaze of unstoppable love. At the crux of it all, there he hangs. I've placed my hope in a crucified man. Like the thief nailed beside him, I have no other plans. I've placed my hope in a crucified man. I've asked Jason to play us another song that just really captures the gospel message. But I really want us to reflect on the gospel this day and for eternity, really. That each day that you're examining yourselves to see if you're finding your strength, your joy in anything else. Sometimes the Bible itself can be an idol, but the Bible itself is only useful as much as it points you to Christ. And so as we sing or just listen to the words of the song, just let Christ be glorified and nothing else.